The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio. It's time now for the Doctor's Lounge Show with Dr. Hal Schurz.
Welcome back into the Doctor's Lounge. I'm your host, Dr. Hal Schurz. And each week, I or my co-host, Dr. Scott, talks to you about issues in healthcare that affect you and your family. We discuss things here on the show that doctors are talking about in doctors' lounges all across the country. We try to give you the information that you need so that you can advocate for your healthcare and that of your family. Our show is brought to you by the Docs for Patient Care Foundation, which is the only physician-led healthcare think tank in the country. The Docs for Patient Care Foundation stands for the principles that are important to you, healthcare freedom, and the doctor-patient relationship. So support Docs for Patient Care. Go to our website at www.d4pcfoundation.org. That's d4pcfoundation.org. Contribute generously or as little as you can, but do it regularly. On some of these shows now, they're saying just give $11 a month. Well, we'd love $11 a month if you set that up. So please think about us. It's tax deductible, and it allows us to do this show and do the work that we do around the country in Washington and putting on conferences like the successful direct primary care conference that we had several months ago in Orlando. So that's my ask. Please do so. It's good to be back behind the microphone. I'm sorry I missed my last turn. Unfortunately, medical practice gets in the way of broadcasting, and an emergency came up that I had to take care of at 8 a.m. on Thursday when I do this show live. Now I'm back and raring to go and talk to you about some things that have really weighed on me, things I've been thinking about. And I guess what I'd like to do is talk. This is a healthcare show, obviously. We talk about healthcare issues. And what's more important than talking about mental health? Mental health is a subject that is not discussed enough. It is not addressed, not addressed well, and so we'll talk a little bit about that in the context of politics, because politics affects everybody. A quote that I recently heard is that you might not be interested in politics, but politics is interested in you. And that's so true, because right now the world is upside down. The world is on fire. I don't know of anyone right now who is feeling comfortable. There's so much anxiety that permeates everything, and we are going through life right now with the threats that are around us and not knowing what is going to happen in the future. Our security of what to expect down the road has evaporated, and much of that has to do with politics. And the politics that have enabled this to happen are left politics, progressive politics, the power of the Marxists. They have done a fantastic job My hat is off to them because they have really upset the apple cart and turned the world upside down. And nothing is sacred anymore. Nothing is settled. Everything that you believed in is no longer sacrosanct. Up is down, down is up, black is white, night is day. Right is no longer right, but it is wrong. And this is a reality now that we are all facing. The Marxists have been at war with the values of democracy and the West for the past 80 years, ever since the end of World War II. Now, they've been ignored. Oh, they're fringe. They're not really a significant movement. We don't have to worry about people who talk about overthrowing democracy and changing our way of life. They're insignificant. Don't worry about it. Well, they have patiently worked at eating away at the fabric of Western democracy. And now their day has come. First, they came after our children. They brainwashed them with all sorts of counterculture ideas. Remember the flower power, hippie movement. That's all leftist thinking. And it began in universities. And we saw sit-ins, and we saw hunger strikes, and we saw all kinds of counterculture movements that were geared towards changing the fabric of America. Well, these college students grew up, and they became adults. And these adults, whose brains were infected at a formulative time in their life, took those ideas and they brought them into various avenues in society. They took it into education and they grew these ideas. It germinated and it metastasized out of the universities into high schools and then middle schools and then elementary schools and even in pre-K. These leftists whose ideas were shaped in the 60s became journalists and lawyers and politicians and businessmen. They infected every aspect of our society and that of Western democracies around the world. And they rose up into leadership positions in the judiciary, in politics, in the military, in media. They are in ascendancy and they are winning. Look at politics. We've had progressive presidents now in all but one term since 2008. We had a president who said that he wanted to fundamentally transform America. What do you think that means? Fundamentally transform America. It's the same thing that happened with college students back in the 1960s. Because America is bad. America is too big for its britches. We need to atone for our sins. We need to be brought down several notches. We need to be incorporated into the global order of things, one world, and not be a separate entity other than the rest of the world. I heard an interesting comment that conservatives view America as the world's policeman, and leftists view America as the world's social worker. Look what they've done in the judiciary. We see that nothing that is conservative is able to exist. And the ideas that are far left, that are radical left, are used selectively to pervert our legal system. Same thing in the military, where we can't focus on protecting our country, but rather on equity and making sure that we don't use certain words that might be offensive, like Islamo-terrorism. The media, that goes without saying. The media is almost exclusively Marxist, and we just saw a whistleblower from NPR point this out, and instead of having a wake-up moment, this guy was suspended without pay, and he ultimately resigned because he was not going to tolerate that. Conservatives have been asleep at the wheel. They have allowed this to happen. The conservatives have underestimated the cunning and the ruthlessness of these Marxists. And they are ruthless. They have enthusiastic support of our enemies around the world. These Marxists are supported by China and by Russia and Iran and North Korea and Venezuela and the Islamists. And this is a problem when we know that all of these efforts, protests like we're seeing in the streets right now, which are pro-Hamas, pro-Hezbollah, pro-Iran, are being orchestrated and assisted by our enemies. The Marxists have continued to do everything possible to take down our culture and to solidify their power. And they have an army of useful idiots who are so damaged that they cannot even see right from wrong. Even when you point it out to them, even when you say that beheading 1,200 Israelis and cutting open the bellies of pregnant women and pulling their fetuses out and raping women and torturing men and women and children is wrong on any level, and they cannot acknowledge that, but instead are taking the side of the victimizers, that's a problem. The people who are supporting this in this country are waving Iranian flags and Hezbollah flags and ISIS flags and Hamas flags, and we're doing nothing about it while they burn American flags at the same time. And look at these useful idiots who are doing this, the groups of people who are doing this. LGBTQ for Palestine, trans for Hamas. Are you kidding me? If these people set foot in any of these Islamic countries, they would get a bullet put through their head in the blink of an eye, and maybe not even that quick. It would be a more gruesome torture for these people. These individuals who are in the streets protesting are the worst combination of ignorant, stupid, and mentally ill. And I use mental illness as a term to describe brainwashing and indoctrination that these people have gone through in universities or by watching social media and getting their brains completely turned inside out, and they're incapable of looking at things objectively anymore because they're so brainwashed and so indoctrinated that it is a form of mental illness. But the rest of us are suffering through what is happening as a result of this. Our whole society has been turned upside down, and we are the victims. Yes, we are the victims of what these Marxists are doing to us. Our culture, our country, our way of life is being threatened and being turned upside down. These Marxists have managed to pervert our legal system. Just look at what's happened to Donald Trump. You might not like Donald Trump. That's immaterial. But if you are objective and you are honest, what is happening to him is political persecution. And this is something that the left does very well in countries that they control, like in South America, banana republics, or in Russia, where we see dissidents who are murdered by Putin and in other totalitarian countries. These Marxists have succeeded in perverting our language, our very language, by introducing terms that make no sense or that are just completely patently wrong. They say to people that if you vote for a Republican, it will be the end of democracy. Are you kidding me? The end of democracy are these Marxists who are totalitarian and who just want to wield power and control individuals. Look what they have done to the people on January 6th in Washington. Now, the people who stormed the Capitol, okay, you know, if you want to try them for trespassing, you want to try them for destruction of property, you know, fine. That's certainly within bounds. But creating just a false narrative that this was an insurrection without weapons? Come on. This is ridiculous. There's never been an insurrection without weapons. Then they point out, well, what about the people who died? Well, the only person who was killed in this was one of the people who was a protester who was killed, shot in the head by a police officer. So, and most of the people who are in prison still 3 years later for January 6th have not even been tried. They're political prisoners. So this is what Marxists do to their political enemies. What else have they done? Well, they have destroyed our borders, and they have allowed an invasion of people into our country who, in many cases, mean us harm. I'm not suggesting that all the people coming across are bad people. Most of them have a desire to have a better life. They're really economic refugees and not political refugees, but how many of these people came from Venezuela or Cuba or other Latin American countries where they've emptied their prisons and sent them to Mexico to come across our border? What about the people who have been apprehended who are on the terror watch list? And that's just the people who've been apprehended. There have been over 120 people in 2024, this year, who have been apprehended on the terror watch list. And those are the ones apprehended. We don't know how many gotaways there are. So what are you thinking? That they're coming here for a better life? People on the terror watch list? Are you kidding me? And what about the thousands of people who came here, or have come here from China or from Russia or from Somalia? Do you think that these people are here because they want a better life? Maybe a lot of them, but it's very odd that all of these refugees are military age men. And this is very unsettling. And what is the people in charge doing about this? Absolutely nothing. In fact, they are encouraging it. In fact, they had a chance to point it out yesterday in the Senate in the impeachment of the Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas. And they failed to do so. Why? Because if they pointed this out in an election year, there would be hell to pay for it because there would be repercussions about the failure of our political class, our president and our Senate, to stem the tide, which will hurt them just before an election. So this is typical of what the left does. What else have they done? They've succeeded in subverting voting. They've allowed people to vote without voter ID, so we don't know who they are. In New York and California, they're giving illegal aliens ID cards and driver's licenses. And many of these people will show up at voting booths and vote. And there's no way they're going to be able to determine who is and who isn't a U.S. citizen that has the right to vote because they can't check. And we've seen all kinds of dirty tricks to change and subvert voting by the leftists. They've allowed for voting for weeks, if not months, in advance so that they can harvest votes and get them from prisons and from nursing homes with people who have Alzheimer's and just check boxes. We've seen all kinds of nefarious ways to stuff ballot boxes, and we've let this happen. The left has succeeded in changing the way that we think about meritocracy, and they've introduced DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, and it is the end of meritocracy and the rise of mediocrity. And it is dangerous to a successful culture to allow this to continue. And they have pretty much managed to get this into every aspect of our society, schools, businesses, medicine, everywhere. ESG, environment, social, and governance, making sure that businesses are no longer thinking about how to be profitable and return money to shareholders, but instead think about the effect on the environment and social conscience. Just changing around the entire fabric of a capitalist society. The Marxists have reignited division in this country. We were coming out of this aspect of things, and people were getting along very well. And I'm not saying it was perfect, but we were moving in the right direction until Barack Obama took office and ignited divisions between us, black versus white, rich versus poor, coastal versus central United States, the basket of deplorables that Hillary Clinton has referred to, or the uneducated, unsophisticated people that Katie Couric just mentioned in an interview with Bill Maher just the other day. They've succeeded in allowing anti-Semitism to rear its head in this country, something that I never thought that I would see in this country ever, let alone in my lifetime. They've allowed the anti-Israel, the boycott, divest, and sanction movement, the BDS movement against anything made in Israel to rise to new heights. These leftists have promoted an anti-victim mentality with criminals that's led to lawlessness, smash and grab in every single major city in this country, in malls across America. No business is safe from these people. They wear masks to hide their identity, hiding behind the permissiveness of COVID to wear masks. We need to outlaw masks at this point. This lawlessness has led to an increase in murder and assault and random acts of violence, where women walking down the street in New York are no longer safe, where they have random individuals, animals, who just sucker punch women for no reason at all. We've allowed this lawlessness to metastasize and allow them to shut down businesses or shut down public spaces. The Golden Gate Bridge the other day, and the Brooklyn Bridge, and in Chicago, the access to O'Hare Airport. We're allowing this to happen, and there are no repercussions. Of course, we arrest a few people, but that's not enough. That's not enough to turn this around. Private businesses, Google stepped up, much to my shock, yesterday when they had those pro-Hamas demonstrators shutting down one of their offices, and they fired everybody who was involved in that. Good for Google. They showed some backbone. We need to see more of this. The Marxists have taken over social media and made it impossible for conservatives to live on social media. And they've taken over the legacy media as well. And we have just been woken up to the fact of NPR being a mouthpiece for the Marxists. The new CEO of NPR is a avowed progressive, i.e. Marxist. The list goes on and on what these Marxists have done to our country. And I can cite 20 more examples, 40 more examples. There's no end to what they have done. They have created a mental health crisis in this country. and we're allowing this to happen. There are two kinds of people who are out there in our country. There are those who have drunk the Kool-Aid and believe that our president is brilliant and that he does nothing wrong and he can do more of the same. I have a cousin who is one of those people who believes that we need to continue to keep our border open and let in as many people who want to come into this country and do a better job of supporting them and giving them not only health care and education and housing, but we need to guarantee them a certain living stipend so that they have dignity. Are you kidding me? This is unbelievable. And there's no age distinction. Yeah, she's a younger person, but I have a friend who is, she admits to being a socialist, although she's very pro-Israel, which is, I think, and she is a capitalist on top of it. She wants to see her 401k do well, and she wants to see Israel thrive, but she doesn't get it. There's cognitive dissonance in what she is doing or some of the things she believes in and some of these other issues. But she is saying that, isn't Biden wonderful for how he has put together a coalition of countries, Saudi Arabia and Jordan, who stepped up to aid Israel and shoot down ballistic missiles and drones that were launched from Iran headed to Israel? And when I pointed out to her how wrong she is, that this isn't Biden that put this together, but it was Trump that put together the Abraham Accords to get the Middle Eastern countries aligned because they need to realize that their enemy is not Israel, but it's Iran. This person told me that I was wrong. You talk about their brains being completely warped and misdirected. I mean, this is a smart woman who is an attorney who can't even get this right. And then there are people out there who are so disgusted by the choices that we have for president and by the way Congress has acted and how ineffective they are that they've checked out. They don't listen to the news anymore. They may not know what's going on. What I've just said with some of the more recent events that I pointed out, but they may not vote at all because they are so checked out, which to me is simply playing into the hands of the leftists. You look at AOC. I always wonder, how the heck can AOC win so overwhelmingly in New York? Now, I know New York, I've sort of answered my own question, but think about it. She represents a working class area. She was responsible for Amazon not opening up one of their large centers because she did not want to give Amazon she said, why should taxpayers pay for Amazon? And she didn't realize that taxpayers are not paying for Amazon. They're generating jobs, they're generating spinoff and money, they're getting tax breaks, but they're not paying for Amazon. But she's so stupid and her brain is so warped that this is the way she thinks, just like so many Marxists out there. In her district in New York, there are over 700,000 people. And just let's say 65% of them are of voting age. That means that there are 455,000 potential voters. AOC received just 89,000 votes. And this is the problem, that people are not paying attention. They've checked out. And again, I say that you may not be interested in politics, but politics is interested in you. In New York, they had to hit rock bottom. Back in, I remember growing up in New York in the 60s and the 70s, and it was a very dangerous place. The subways were dangerous, Times Square was dangerous, and it got to the point where New York hit rock bottom. And it took doing so for Democrats in New York to wake up and vote for a Republican mayor to clean up the city, Rudy Giuliani, who did a great job in two terms as the mayor, and then subsequently turned it over to Bloomberg, who was then identifying as a Republican and served an additional three terms. So for 20 years, New York had law and order, and New York was the safest large city in the United States. No more. Not after leftist leadership of de Blasio. And again, New York is now on a downslide. Why? Because the leftists, the young people who didn't remember, who were not around when New York hit rock bottom and didn't know about how bad it was, listened to the pablum, all the nonsense that de Blasio was spewing, and it was consistent with their world views and their ideas of life, and they voted him in, and they continued to allow him to serve two terms. And that's what's happening in the country writ large. And people need to wake up. Our mental health is at stake. But what else is at stake when these leftists control everything? How does it tie into your health care? Well, everything that the left has done is geared to more control over you and your health care and your ability to make independent decisions for you and your family. Let me give you some examples of why these people must be defeated if you have any hope for your health care, and why sitting on the sidelines is not a good idea, and you do so at your own peril. The Marxists know that the way to control the population is to be in charge of their health care. Obamacare was a first step. It was a bridge to this eventuality. The more control that the government has over healthcare, and the Marxists being in charge of the government, then the easier it is to convince people that government needs to manage things. Everything. Everything. People want free stuff. That's human nature. If you can get it for free, why not? But they're too stupid to realize that, number one, there is no free stuff. Somebody pays. And number two, when the government is in charge of health care, the government then decides what doctor you see, where you get your care, and what kind of care you receive. The latest in scams to try to win people over has been floated by Joe Biden. Of course, he's attempting to forgive medical debt. And this is another flagrant attempt at a vote-buying scheme. And it's so flagrant, and it is so obvious. Everyone remembers, it's still going on, the student loan forgiveness boondoggle. Some court found it unconstitutional. The president doesn't have the power to do it. And yet, he does it. He is acting like an autocrat, like a dictator. He's the one that is trying to preserve democracy. Are you kidding me? But this is still an attempt to buy those votes from students. The president does not have the authority to do that. And he may get away with this because of the Marxist judges that won't stop his unlawful behavior. Forgiveness for medical debt is another vote-buying scheme and will resonate with more voters than the student loan business because the scope is much larger. There's over $220 billion that's owed by Americans in medical debt. 14 million people, or 6% of the adult U.S. population, are facing medical bills of greater than $1,000, and over 3 million, or 1%, over $10,000. Now, this problem is one that is manufactured by hospitals. That's medical debt. They jack up the prices for care and charge whatever they can get away with. And that's a subject of an entirely different discussion, because I am anti-big hospital, and I think that we need to rein them in, and I've talked about that over and over again. But the medical debt number is a phony number because it is fabricated. It is just it is numbers that are manufactured by these medical entities. There are different charges for different patients depending on their third-party insurers, and these charges are considerably higher than patients with no insurance. If you go in there and say, I have no insurance, I'm going to pay cash, you may pay less than you owe if you have insurance and you have to pay a copay. There's no transparency in healthcare pricing, so patients can't shop. And that's a big part of what has led to this medical insolvency. Medical debt forgiveness would involve even more government involvement in paying for healthcare. Bureaucrats should never be solving this problem. The market should. But hospitals must be reined in, and that's something that needs to happen with legislation. There needs to be insurance regulatory reform, reform in the tax code. These hospitals should not be tax-exempt entities and get away with just gobbling up small hospitals and getting bigger and bigger and buying doctors and buying their practices and buying medical entities and then being allowed to charge 3, 4, 10 times as much as would be charged if the hospital did not provide that service. Costly mandates need to be eliminated so that better insurance can be written and patients can shop for the insurance that they need and want. But these reforms were actually begun by Donald Trump in a conservative government and eliminated in a leftist government by Joe Biden. Biden will allow people to suffer enough in this system so that government can, quote, come to the rescue. And this is why politics matter in healthcare. What else? Well, a big one is censorship of information. Marxists that control the flow of information can censor information from getting out to the public. That's why they have Radio Free Europe, so that people in who were behind the Iron Curtain and now in Russia can get information of what is really going on in the world. Medical information has wrongfully been mislabeled as misinformation or disinformation by the Marxists. Misinformation or disinformation are actually Marxist concoctions. It's verbiage that was created by Marxists in the Soviet Union. In science, and especially in healthcare, nothing is settled. Nothing is cast in stone. When I go back and look at my textbooks from medical school, I'm amazed at how obsolete they are, that so much of that information is no longer relevant. And why is that? It's because there are innovations in science because things are questioned. There's nothing that's settled. We improve by critically thinking and objecting to what the status quo is so that we can do better and advance the science. Not being able to question, not being inquisitive, is the antithesis of science. It is unscientific. And to have non-science people being critical of dissenting opinions is stupid, and it is dangerous, especially when intermingled with politics and Marxism. And this has happened in just the last few years. It's happened with climate science, which is not science at all. It's opinion, and it's geared towards feeling good about the environment. And it's not that the conservatives want dirty water, dirty air, pollution. That's not it at all. But these radical climatologists, Marxists, they want a halt to all progress in the name of climate science. But not when it affects them. They have figured out a way to get around it with a boondoggle called carbon offsets. This is absolute nonsense, and just shows you how these rules are for thee and not for me. And this has happened again with COVID, and even more recently, on an ongoing basis, with transgenderism, how non-science is permeating these areas that should be confined to real scientists. Congressman Jim Jordan has recently uncovered and revealed documents that the White House pressured Amazon to censor books about COVID-19 vaccines, and had done so as early as 2021. There was one book written by a British a physician that was entitled "Anyone Who Tells You Vaccines Are Safe and Effective Is Lying." Now, he's an anti-vaxxer, and I don't subscribe to much of what he has written, if most of what he's written. I think vaccines, real vaccines, are safe and effective and are actually essential for public health. But that is not what the COVID shots were. The COVID shots were not vaccines. They were genetic manipulation with mRNA that had no safety or efficacy studies done, but were improved on an emergency basis, which is still ongoing. Now, this guy whose book was banned by Amazon is entitled to his opinion. And I guess that Amazon is a business, and they can decide which books they want to promote and which they don't. But his book, before this ban, had sold millions and was translated into 26 languages. And after the Amazon ban, it was banned on every other outlet. So this guy can't even sell his books anymore. And he is entitled to having his opinion out there. You may disagree with it, but that's part of the scientific process. His ideas may be wrong, but then it's up to others to prove that this guy is wrong. This is a glaring example of censorship by the government. And it will happen again, and it will get worse. This, my friends, is the end of democracy. This is the threat to democracy. This is what the Marxists, and you know that I use the term Marxists interchangeably with leftists, progressives, and Democrats. And that's because these radical leftists have hijacked the Democrat Party. And so there is no daylight between the leftists, the Marxists, and the Democrats today. But this will happen again and get worse. The Marxists accuse the Republicans about the end of democracy when it is they who are the real threat, but they are expert at turning everything around so that, again, what's up is down, what's right is wrong, what their opponents are being accused of is what they are guilty of. This is happening. This censorship is happening currently on Facebook and on YouTube, no longer on X, which formerly Twitter, but it did. And there was coordination between the Marxist White House and the social media sites. Free speech is only okay in the eyes of the Marxists if it is speech that they agree with. When it runs contrary to Marxist ideology or policy, it's labeled as misinformation. It's also labeled as hate speech if it is against what they believe. So, if you have people who are spewing anti-Semitic tropes on college campuses around the country or on the streets of major cities, that's okay because it is okay to be anti-Israel and anti-Zionist, pro-Palestinian, and hence anti-Semitic. France, which has been completely overrun by Marxists, has enacted a new law, and it criminalizes anyone opposing the mRNA injections or other treatments recommended by the state based on, quote, current medical knowledge. An opposition could result to up to 3 years imprisonment or a fine of 45,000 euros. Totalitarian, authoritarian, and autocratic overreach by a bunch of scientifically uninformed people is what's going on. And they arrived at this by relying on advice from a panel of experts that they have identified as the experts. And they have ignored research that proves what they claim to be is not true. This is their version of the big lie. We heard the big lie in response to Trump. Again, leftist, Marxist jargon to turn around what they do and put it on their opposition. Why is there no big outcry here? Because the Marxists, why is there no outcry about what's going on in France is what I meant to say. And it's because the Marxists in the U.S. hope to get the same thing enacted here. This provision that has been put into French law has been called the Pfizer Amendment because it is allowing Pfizer to dictate any opposition against their drugs will be outlawed. Experts should not make decisions for citizens, but they should inform people about advantages and disadvantages of certain treatments, and then let citizens decide for themselves what is best for them or their family. This, at least, is what should be the case in a free society. Shutting down or criminalizing differences of opinion impairs our ability to learn as a society. And this is exactly what we're seeing happen because of the Marxists here in our country. And they want to take it to another level. We need to allow dissenting experts to criticize recommended treatments by the government agencies. We shouldn't let politics dictate this. Science is not dictated by the government, and healthcare recommendations should not be dictated by the government. When outside experts dissent from these recommendations, what we learn is that the recommendations may not be as solid as the government experts think that they are. This dialogue is crucial for societal learning. Pharmaceutical companies should not think that their long-term position relative to getting government mandates is a good one. They need to rethink this, especially when it comes to something like mRNA vaccinations. Big Pharma should do a better job of marketing their products, of doing research on their products, and showing the public that it is a superior treatment so that the public wants it, not something that they are mandated to have. So, folks, this is why sitting on the sidelines is not a good idea when it comes to your health care, let alone just allowing all of the things I pointed out to occur is not good for your mental health. You need to regain your mental health so that you can be happy in your everyday affairs. But the future for your health care is at serious risk if these Marxists continue to wield power. You need to think before you pull the lever in the ballot box in November or in October or in September if you're an early voter. This is lunacy that needs to be reined in. I think we have come close to rock bottom. The only thing that could be worse is if we see another 9/11 in our country, which is very possible given what we've seen come across our border. And God hope, I pray that day never comes. But you need to really consider your choices and not sit on the sidelines. We've reached close to rock bottom. It's time to reclaim things for your health care, for the health care of your children, and for your grandchildren. So thanks for being with us today in the Doctor's Lounge. I'll be back with you in a couple of weeks to rant more about how things are going with regard to your health care in this country. Thanks for being with us today.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.